It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Kifah, everybody. How you doing? Hey, how you doing, everyone? It is Sunday night. It's time for the sit down with Don Tony, the real Don Tony. Yeah, you know, in hindsight, you look back, it is kind of interesting how so many parts of the terminology and everything that we have done here has actually ended up happening in NXT, from the sit down to the family. Come on. The end of every show up until recently, I changed it a little bit. We always shouted out the family. And then Don Tony, free Don Tony. Is it coincidental? Probably. Probably coincidental. But I hope everybody's having a good weekend. Weekend's almost over. Monday night, which will be the 12th of June, we have Raw. We'll get the final entrance for the Money in the Bank. We'll see possibly some clarity with Rhea Ripley having the SmackDown Women's Championship and a few other things. Now, a couple of quick plugs before we kick this show off. I want to get right into it tonight. If you haven't checked it out yet, I did upload Thursday's Q&A, some very good topics, some topics that have already aged well, from Charlotte Flair making a return to WWE addressing Asuka's championship, even Young Rock getting canceled. You know, you kind of had an idea that was going to happen when they weren't mentioned for the fall season for NBC, but go check that out if you haven't done so already. Monday night, we will do the Raw post-show review, get into ratings and a few other tidbits, and a little added treat this week. Somebody made another offer that they couldn't refuse. Well, they, meaning yours truly and Kevin Castle, Tuesday night. Kevin, what do you think about the background? I kind of like it because of the red, white, and blue, even though it's kind of red, gray, and blue. But Kevin and I will be returning Tuesday night. It'll stream live on Patreon, and then it'll be posted on Don Tony right afterwards. We're going to just get into, you know, just a whole bunch of shit in the pro wrestling world and beyond. And then in about 2 weeks, he and I will, we should be doing Money in the Bank predictions. So you'll get two Don Tony and Kevin Castle shows in the next 3-4 weeks. So I hope everybody enjoys that. Looking forward to it. It'll be fun, and it's amazing that we've been kind of doing some shows again for 3 months already. Time freaking flies, man. It flies. We're already in the middle of freaking June. Not even a week from now, AEW Collision would have debuted. And then we'll be on the road to not only Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, Forbidden Door. You know, it's more of a niche product. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stars from New Japan that are not household names in the United States. Some people on social media make you think that you're brain dead or there's something wrong with you if you don't follow these people. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, more of a niche show, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with catering to a certain audience. And you know what? Maybe it'll convince some U.S. fans to start watching some more New Japan Pro Wrestling, and maybe you'll get some more international fans that maybe want to start watching a little more AEW, you know. So, and then Wembley. And Wednesday, we're going to have an interesting discussion. Wednesday is usually AEW and NXT night. And we got to rip apart. If you want a little sneak preview, go to my Twitter. We got to rip apart the latest moronic claim that AEW is doing poor ticket sales for Collision in Canada because of bad weather. I kid you not. Some people thought I was lying when I mentioned that the other day, I actually did some research and I posted the research. And because it kind of rips apart that narrative, of course, the elite out there don't want to, you know, repost it or educate people out there. But when you actually look at the weather all throughout Canada, here in New York, we get worse summers than Canada. We get more rain here in New York compared to Canada. We get more rain days here in New York in the summertime compared to Canada. And somebody, do they realize how much they are hurting AEW? They spent a year fucking up CM Punk and fucking up not only him, but Miro, Andrade, Thunder Rosa. You know, you think everybody absolutely loves those people? No. For a year, people have been damaging their shit. And now they just think like, oh, you know, I'm excited. Collision. Yay. You fucked that company up, man. So anyway, enough of that. Tonight, the show is about all of you. For everybody who joins me live, you choose the topics of discussion. You ask the questions. I answer them as best as I could. There's only a couple of rules. If you want to ask a question, obviously got to be live in the chat. It's free. So just go to the chat. Before your question, write in capital letters the word question. If you have a comment you want me to share with the world, write comment in capital letters. It helps me spot it quicker. And as always, as I say, super chats are not required. They are appreciated. They help pay the bills, no question. And you'll always get VIP priority status. And as I look, I see one came in right before we went live. So we will answer that one first. So, super shout out goes out to Mikey Ravello. Thank you for the 10 spot, Mikey. Mikey says, so, Don, you know, I got to tell you all something. Someone on Twitter today called me Don Don. You know, trying to like crack a joke because when I was talking about the AEW bad weather narrative, and this guy's like, oh, Don is lying again. So I posted the proof. I don't lie. I'm not good at lying. I don't even want to waste my time lying because then you got to worry about covering up the lie. You know, we've exposed so many people over the years that lie years ago and then they forget about it and then they get caught. Not just in wrestling. I mean, just across, you know, real life. But, you know, I was going to block the guy. And then I was like, you know what? I actually like that. I think from, you know, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to call myself Don Don. When I want to be an asshole, I'm going to say Don Don is in the house. You know, and that's a play, obviously, on Rhea Ripley calling Dominic Mysterio Dom Dom. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be Don Don. So I didn't block him, but I did shut him up. So Mikey Ravello says, Don Stevens, a.k.a. Aubrey Edwards, is going to wrestle a match for AEW. My thoughts. Damn, I wanted to save this for Wednesday. My honest thoughts, Aubrey Edwards. Look, I know this is going to anger some people out there. I don't give a shit. You know, even though she is disliked by a lot of people, listen, I don't like the antics. I'm used to it now. And I also understand, and this is a very important point that a lot of people always ignore. They ignore it. You know, AEW wants her to be animated, welcomes that she is animated. Early on, they told her, go ahead, do your thing, that's fine. You know, and you see Jericho and her get a little extra animated during Jericho's matches. So if AEW did not want that aspect of Aubrey Edwards to be doing what she does, referee matches, it wouldn't happen. So she gets under people's skin, and rightfully so. But honestly, it's going to be a novelty match. I remember back in the day, Mean Gene Oakland teaming up with Hulk Hogan for a match at Madison Square Garden. We have seen people that are not wrestlers who are in the pro wrestling business, from referees to promoters to commentators, and they do a novelty match. Gene Oakland did nothing. He did virtually nothing. One of my favorite ECW matches of all time is fucking Bill Alfonso. Bill Alfonso with Beulah McGillicuddy. because he fucked up. You know, anybody wants to go check out that backstory about the WCW stuff, he fucked up. And he was bleeding like a pig in that ring. And he wanted that match stopped, and he's looking at the camera, and he's looking like this, and he's, I mean, literally gushing blood. Would have made Moxley look like a virgin. It would have made Moxley look like a 75-year-old woman that doesn't bleed anymore, if you know what I mean. Bill Alfonso bled more than even when Jericho and Lance Storm wrestled that match. What was it, Smoky Mountain? I don't remember if it was Smoky Mountain. They bled as the Thrill Seekers. They bled. I never saw Jericho bleed as much as he did in that match. And Bill Alfonso was like, yeah, you never saw my match. He's not a wrestler. It's not a big deal. You know, as long as it's not a pay-per-view, I mean, as long as it's not going to be on a regular basis, I don't care. And you know she's going to get into it with Karen Jarrett. It's going to be a clusterfuck on both sides. Karen, I honestly don't mean any disrespect. I don't mean any disrespect, but I would be more miffed to see Karen Jarrett in the ring than Aubrey Edwards. Because at least Aubrey Edwards does a lot of work behind the scenes for AEW, refs for AEW, does a lot of work. Karen Jarrett, you know, she's married to Jeff Jarrett, and she's doing a couple of things. They think she could be a good heel character to get under people's skin. And Aubrey Edwards, you know, she's going to slap her around a little bit. That's what it is. I don't think we should lose sleep over it. I mean, I honestly could give a shit. Will I watch it? Probably not. Unless I'm absolutely forced to, but I have no interest in watching it. But you want to know something? You know, she actually does have fans out there. A lot of women absolutely adore Aubrey Edwards, especially with AEW heels, and she interacts on social media. You know, is she a bad person? I don't think so. You know, is she a little annoying with the refereeing? Absolutely. But for me, it's more like, I don't care. I don't care, as long as I don't have to pay for it, as long as I don't have to see it, that's how I feel about it. Thank you, Mikey. All right. Kevin Hardy. What's up, Kev? Is Lacey Evans at risk of being future endeavored? I love her look, and I think she's got enough in the ring to be a success. Wasn't she meant to win the strap before she got pregnant? Kevin, if you want a little bit extra, you could click after the show is over. I got to look at the timestamp, 13 minutes. Yesterday, I talked. No, it was a Q&A. No, we talked on the Q&A Thursday about Lacey Evans. I don't say this often, but I am very concerned about Lacey Evans' future. I don't think she makes it through 2024. I hate to say that. And honestly, yeah, she put a foot in her mouth with that dumb viewpoints about autism and everything, you know, but, and I don't want to repeat everything I said on Thursday, but I will say this. When they teamed her up with Baron Corbin when she was still the Southern Belle, that was awful. Her feud with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch was pathetic. And then they gave us these long, drawn-out vignettes that, you know, they should have put that on social media. If you want to see 5-minute video about, you know, 5-part series about, oh, this, what is the who is the real Lacey Evans? I would have been fine with that. But they put it on TV. And the worst thing, listen, I defend WWE more than I criticize. And I do my share of criticism if you pay attention. But I will say this. They did powerful, powerful, powerful vignettes about Lacey Evans's history, her family. Tough, tough shift, man. Inspiration. She is definitely inspiration for a lot of people out there. And you watch that, and you want to root for her. And you want to, you know, cheer for her. And you want to succeed. You want to thank her for her service. And thank you for being so tough. And thank you for being a role model. And they have a turn heel. I mean, I don't get it. I think she doesn't survive 2024 unless they turn her babyface and unless they just cut this dumb shit out. you know, the Twitter spat that she had with Sergeant Slaughter's daughter. You know, I get a kick out of it how people out there really think that the heat is legit and real. Just like, I thought it was so cute yesterday. I was like, oh, they really believe it. Bianca Belair goes on social media and complains that Charlotte Flair comes back and gets a title shot and all this other stuff. And you see not only fans, but journalists and podcasters all up in Bianca Belair's business, like, yeah, you should be upset, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, it's so cute. They think she really didn't expect this. They think that Bianca truly is really irate and mad. And maybe she'll really punch Charlotte and Flair in the face. Maybe we'll see a Nia Jax-Charlotte match once again. Bianca Belair just had a record fucking run. A very, very pressured year. The focal point. It started getting to the point that the same matarazzas yesterday that were all believing Bianca Belair's pain, these are the same matarazzas that started calling her Black Cena, that she's turning into the Black John Cena, the Black Women's John Cena, the Women's John, however you want to phrase it. And now all of a sudden, because they hate Charlotte Flair even more. So you use social media to try to push your storyline a little more, push your character a little bit more. That's fine. That's fine. That ended up being what it is. But still, Lacey Evans, though, being a bitch, being a military bitch on social media ain't going to get fans to boo her and want to see her get her ass kicked. All it is going to just make those fans even more like, get fucking rid of her. Get rid of her. I hate to say that. Lacey Evans is uber talented, but I think WWE fucked her up twice. The shit with Baron Corbin and when they did those vignettes and just had her turn heel. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, and you know I rarely ever talk about somebody possibly being let go because I don't think it's fair to put that out there about any individual, especially with a job. But I don't think she survives 2024. Something massive has to happen. Some unforeseen circumstances where people just, you know, really turn the corner with her. I just don't see it. Got to be totally honest with you. So, all right, we got another super shout out. And thank you, Kevin. Here's another Kevin. Kevin Milwaukee with a 10 spot. Thank you, Kev. Are these so-called wrestling journalists who keep perpetrating, getting caught lying, hurting the product so bad that they're actually hurting your own personal bottom line in the long run, Don Tony? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question that unless you clickbait, listen, we know what has been happening to CM Punk over the last 12 months. And people are still pushing shows as if we don't know why things are happening or who did this and who said this and who caused this. There's a lot of clickbait. And honestly, that clickbait draws people in. And they get pissed off. Fans get pissed off. Oh, this is what the fuck, man. This has nothing to do with it. Look at all the Bray Wyatt clickbait that has gone on over the last 4 months. Add it up. Almost four months of garbage. Bray Wyatt released. Bray Wyatt's back. They worked out a deal. They didn't work out a deal. He had a falling out. He took his ball away. He got laid. He didn't get laid. He didn't. I mean, and the problem is that the people keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. Yeah, it's hurt my bottom line. Absolutely. I don't give a shit. I mean, I know sooner or later people are going to get fed up with being lied to and getting clickbait. And, you know, plus ignorance and stupidity. I feel bad, but I got to say it. Something else that I'm going to get into on Wednesday, you'll get a kick out. If you don't like Dave Meltzer, you'll get a kick out of this. And it breaks my heart because I am a huge supporter of Dave Meltzer. But I got to call it out when I see it. Just like anybody else would call my shit out on me if I did something off. He just did a podcast. He's the one that brought up the bad weather thing, okay? He just did a podcast and was talking about Stardom wrestlers, about women wrestlers in Stardom, and how they wouldn't be able to work Forbidden Door because they don't have visas. I live in the United States, my friends, and I even know this. If you go on Canada's immigration website, they have a set of guidelines. Performers who are allowed to work in Canada without a visa. And right on that list, it says professional wrestlers from World Wrestling Entertainment or similar. Wrestlers do not need a visa to go to Canada and wrestle. So, you know, again, I don't think he intentionally put that out there wrong, but there's a lot of people out there that would put out stuff wrong, or they do the cute thing. They do the cute thing. We all know now that CM Punk never forced Colt Cabana out of AEW and forced into Ring of Honor. A year ago, Nick Houseman was called out by CM Punk at the All Out Media Scrum. Are you aspiring to be a journalist? And a lot of people love Nick Houseman. He's a good guy, but he deservingly got called out. What did he get called out for? And we talked about it a year ago, and nobody else talked about it because it's not a popular thing. I don't even have notes. I'm looking at you, and I could tell you everything verbatim for fact. At the Ring of Honor media scrum around WrestleMania weekend of last year, somebody put out a ridiculous rumor, and yes, it was given to journalists by people within AEW that don't like CM Punk, that love Colt Cabana, and said that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana out of AEW, and now they're pushing him into the Ring of Honor. This is right at the time when they were going to do that first pay-per-view, when I don't even think the ownership completely changed hands. And Nick Houseman, for the media scrum for Ring of Honor, asked Tony Khan, you know, there's a rumor going around that, you know, what's your thoughts on this rumor that CM Punk forced Colt Cabana and blah, 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 blah. And nobody could substantiate the rumor. Did you ever see any journalist back then say, we reached out for CM Punk for comment and received no reply. We reached out to Colt Cabana for comment and received no reply. We reached out to AEW for management and received... No, none of them did that. They just put a rumor out there. Instead of getting the facts first, before talking about it, he brings it up in a media scrum. And you know Tony Khan. Tony Khan don't talk about any of this shit. Oh, I don't know. I have no comment. Blah, blah, blah. So now for a whole year, well, not a year, but a whole 4, 5, 6, 7 months, you have this narrative that Colt Cabana was forced out by CM Punk. So CM Punk finally gets the media scrum and finally gets the opportunity to confront that guy that put that shit out there not knowing the truth. And then all hell breaks loose. Nick, let me make this clear. Nick Houseman is not the cause of the fight. All right, but a lot of people forget why CM Punk got angry at the media that night. And over the last year, those same journalists, not all of them, but a good handful of them, have gotten worse. So now, this is where I'm going with all of this. Now you have a year later, and then once they iron things out with CM Punk, Tony Khan recently says, oh, it was me. Oh, no, this was me. Put everything on me. It was me that did this. It was me that did that. And I'm like, motherfucker, this shit could have been resolved a year ago. But instead, people run with it. So the problem with a lot of journalists today is instead of getting the answers first and then report it, they will hide behind there is a rumor, reportedly, possibly, allegedly, likely. And they go with that. That's why if you look at a lot of thumbnails now, you'll see this. And no, it's not a women's body. I'm doing a question mark signal, the symbol. That's what they do now. Something that is not true. Instead of not talking about it or in passing you cover it, now it's the focal point of a show or a video or a rant. And you put the question mark so when you can't be blamed for lying. You can't be blamed for making shit up. You're just addressing a rumor. And that's one of the biggest problems today. Somebody could put out some of the dumbest shit, and people run with it and put a question mark next to it. So I'm not saying it's true. I'm just addressing it. You know, it's almost like what the pop-up ads used to be in the early 2000s. A lot of you out there, if you don't like PW Insider, I can't believe in the year 2023 PW Insider has that many pop-up ads and banners on their website. Seriously, that eighth of a penny must be really desperate for that eighth of a penny. I literally went on their website probably about 3 months ago on a computer that I rarely ever use. I was at my parents' house, and I'm on there, and I see fucking like 17 banners, and I'm like, is this 1999? Am I on Wayback Machine? But you go on these sites, and basically what happens is you, I'm trying to say, think how the best way I could describe this. Okay, in the early 2000s, you would go on a website, and after the article, at the very bottom, there would be a news report or a question or something. And the one that I always brought up since then is back in like 2002, I think it was, Booker T at SmackDown? Click here for details. Booker T showing up on Raw? Click here for details. I'm like, holy shit. You know, he's on Raw? Blah, blah, blah. I click on it. And you know what first of all, I got hit with all these pop-ups. And then after I click on it, you know what it says? No, he's a SmackDown guy. That's what they would do. After every article, there'd be a clickbait line or question, and you click on it, and then they basically say, no, it's not true. You know, so-and-so might be fired. Click on, no, he's not fired. And then you realize you just got suckered. That was one of the most painful things to go through back then. You would see all these things like, oh, so-and-so backstage at Raw? Details, click here. No, he's not backstage. He works for Impact Wrestling. I'm like, oh, you cocksucker. That's what they would do. So, yeah, it does hurt my bottom line. But, you know, but some people are just ignorant. Some people don't do their research first. You know, like I said, with that thing with Stardom, with visas, I think he just didn't realize that you don't need visas to work in Canada. That's why a lot of wrestlers, you know, in the United States will work Canada, but you don't see too many Canadian wrestlers coming to the United States. There was a female wrestler, I don't remember her name, but she worked an AEW show very, very recently. Props if anybody out there remembers her name. She worked an AEW show like maybe 2 months ago, and she couldn't come to the United States for about 5 years, I think, because of some shit, you know, with her papers with Canada. And they would not allow her to come into the United States. Or maybe the United States wouldn't let her come in. Now, if you do something illegally, Canada's not going to let you in. If you think about the controversy in the past, you know, you would say like, oh, how come the Usos can't go to Canada? You know, you fuck up. Canada's not letting you in. But you don't need a visa to do so, so. Yeah, it was like 5 or 7 years, I think it was. Something really, it's nothing like, she didn't commit any crimes or rob any banks. But something happened and she was not allowed in the United States for quite a while. She's a Canadian wrestler. Can't remember her name. But I know she worked AEW not too long ago. Tristan Sloan wanted to know, how did my outro come about? How did I create it? And is that the real Ray Liotta's voice? First of all, no, that's not the real Ray Liotta's voice. It's someone who, someone told me that wanted to do a little, intro. Originally, we were going to do an intro for one of the shows. And, you know, Goodfellas is my favorite movie of all time. And if you look at that outro, you see a dog in my lap sleeping. And that's my dog that I had to put to sleep. What, 5, 6, 7 years ago? I don't remember how long ago it was, but that video is a tribute to my dog, and it's a tribute to pro wrestling. It's a tribute to my favorite movie of all time, Goodfellas. I wrote the whole thing up, and I took the first scene of Goodfellas where Ray Liotta, as far as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. you know, the beginning of Goodfellas. So I tried to spoof it, and I said, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. And I changed everything, that all the wording is me. And I sent it to him, and he recorded it. And then I had someone do my graphics, and I put it, mixed it together, and that's it. I mixed the audio, and the audio originally was not supposed to be for a video show. This was before YouTube. So I just waited for the perfect opportunity and put it together. So actually, this might have been right at the beginning of YouTube, me doing YouTube. But yeah, it was just three different things put together. But that outro, when you see it, this is the outro we're talking about here. No, I'm not ending the show. I don't want anybody to think I'm ending the show, but this is the outro. If you look at it, watch.
As far back as I
can
remember,
that's my dog in the middle.
I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other.
I just took a slug. So, but yeah, no, it's not the Ray Liotta. Man, that would have been awesome if I had the real Ray Liotta, though. Just like, remember, I don't know if any of you remember back in the Hotline days. You, Anthony, this is the Macho Man. And this was before Macho Man died. And I used to play that as an intro, and for years, people thought it was the real Randy Savage, and it wasn't. It was so. I have to pull that intro. That's in my old external hard drive. But for a while, you, Anthony, this is the Macho Man. And people were like, how the... Some of the intros are real people, but some of them aren't. All right. Left Twix. Kevin brought up possibly a reunion with Joey 924. Am I down with it? Yeah, I'd do it. Absolutely. I would do it. I mean, you know, I don't hate the guy. You know, I haven't talked to him in years. I hope he's doing well. And, you know, for those that don't know who that person is, back a long time ago, up until 2005, I did a hotline that later on, Kevin came aboard, this guy Joey 924, Black Moses, Smoked Al, a few others. And then we started podcasting. We started podcasting, I think, in 2005 as the Minority Report. And I haven't talked to him in a long time. We had a big falling out. So, but, you know, if he wants to do it, yeah, I'd do it. Absolutely. Rockstar Wolf, how did I deal with the smog this past week? You know, it's funny. Last Tuesday on Patreon, I did, it wasn't off the cuff. It was just regular VIP. And somebody asked me, like, you know, what's going on? You know, how's your area with the wildfires? And I hear all these things. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was out of my house like 2 hours before I did the show. Everything was fine. I threw out the garbage. The air was good. I'm like, what are these people talking about? I walked out of my house Wednesday. And it reminded me of when I used to go camping in the mountains with my friends. And we would build a fire. And then, like, all around, like, the camp area, you would see, like, that smoke in the air, and you would smell that smoke, or you put the fire out. And the worst part about it is we would hike for hours into the mountains and build a fire. In fact, some of you saw one of my camping videos probably about a year ago. I streamed it live on, I think, one of the Thursday shows. But, when you're 4 or 5 hours into the mountains, you try to find whatever you could find to burn for heat, especially when it's cold out. We were burning twigs, we were burning wood, we were burning leaves, but then we're burning like containers, a cup of noodles. My friend being a dick, he threw a battery in there. You know, we threw paper, we threw maps, like we threw all this, you know, like plastic coated stuff. And trust me, laying by the fire, like, this is warm. You're breathing that stuff in. I definitely killed some of my brain cells on those trips. But when I walked out of my house last Wednesday, I was like, what the hell is this? And then Wednesday night, you're looking around and the sky is orange. I mean, it's like you would have like thought that we were in World War III. And then that stuck around for about 2 days. By Friday, it was pretty much gone. Wednesday and Thursday were really bad over here. You know, it was something that I never experienced here in, you know, in New York. Going camping, yeah, but not like that. And it was weird because when I went to a customer's house, walked outside, and you're smelling, and it smelled like somebody's house was just on fire. And it's amazing how much it actually affected this area. You know, my thoughts are everybody in Canada was affected by it because here, at least it was just a passing thing for 2 days. I could only imagine what went on in Canada. And, you know, I'm surprised people have not blamed that on low ticket sales for AEW as well. I'm a little surprised about those ticket sales. I expect them to improve. All AEW needs to do is start announcing matches. I know what they're doing. For those that don't know, what AEW is doing is they want to do Collision first, the debut edition. They want to surprise everybody for the first Collision. They don't want to leak out every little thing that's going to happen. By the end, and this, you could take this as news if you want, by the end of the first episode of Collision, you will now know who's going to appear at all these Canada shows. They don't want to do that first. So the problem is that you're asking for big money. Look up the ticket prices. It'll blow you away how expensive these shows are. People don't want to spend that kind of money not knowing who's going to be on the show. And even if you're a huge CM Punk fan, you know, CM Punk is only going to be 1/10 of the show. You know, so a lot of people are holding out to wait and see who's going to be on the card. Not just who's going to be on the card, who's wrestling who. Honestly, the House of Black could ring my bell right now and say, hey, Don Tony, can we use your yard? We want to have a match. Hey, you could hang out too and you could watch. In fact, you know what? You could be Aubrey Edwards and you could referee it. Meanwhile, you know, I'm doing a show over here. I got to clean. I got to get work ready for tomorrow. And I go to the yard, and they're fighting QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. Honestly, no thank you. I got shit to do in my house. I've seen the House of Black wrestle enough. I've seen John Moxley. I've seen them all. So, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay prime money so I could see them fight Caleb Kong, you know, or some dumb schmuck, you know, no. So these people are waiting to see what's going to be on these shows. Then they'll buy tickets. I honestly think once they get past Saturday with Collision, by the week after, the ticket sales should start picking up. I don't know how much they pick up, but they will pick up a little bit. All right. Shout out to L King Little? I think it's L King Little. Liking Little? Shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, it's kind of amazing that I'm still doing this. I don't know when to quit. I don't know what to quit. Rockstar says it was horrible there in D.C., Maryland, and the Virginia area. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, I put that screenshot on Saturday's show. If you all check out Saturday's Don Tony show, right at the very beginning, within the first 2 minutes of the show, I posted a screenshot of Citi Field where the Mets play from Thursday. And we were cracking some jokes about Scarlett throwing the red, you know, smoke in or powder in AJ Styles' face on SmackDown. But if you look at that screenshot, I mean, it's mind-boggling. You know, it almost looks like a photo from like 1900. If you ever look at like really old photos, it's got that brownish tint to it, that amber tint. It's crazy, man. Crazy. And me like an idiot, I put my air conditioner on and I left the vent open. And my house started smelling like shit. And my wife is like, what the hell is that smell? And she's like, go take a shower. I said, it's not me. And then I realized I had the vent open and the fucking smell was going into the house. Oh, no shit. L. King Little is King from the Bronx. I remember you, man. I remember your voicemail messages. Or you would call it, yo, King from the Bronx. What's up, King? Yeah, I want to talk about Wade Barrett. I got some bad news. Very, very cool. He's old school. Very cool. All right, let's get some more questions in here. We're only rocking about 40 minutes, so we got a little time still. Let's get into some good questions. Thank you, Chris Segovia, for the kind words. Michael Gonzalez, when do I see Edge returning? Believe it or not, actually, it's something I'm going to bring up on Monday. WWE just announced Edge for a show in August. He is going to be returning to WWE television at minimum in August. I think he returns sooner. I personally think SummerSlam is a possibility for Edge. I don't think Money in the Bank, but SummerSlam is definitely a possibility. But no, Edge is returning in August. Now we got to see what they're going to do. Listen, I know Edge originally said that 2023 was going to be his last year. I am convinced he goes to WrestleMania 40. Whether it's a retirement match, I don't know. But I personally think one of the reasons why we have not seen Edge all that much lately is because they want to extend him into 2024. And I personally think Edge will back off of, you know, my final year in pro wrestling. Everybody wants to see Edge and Christian. And you know what's interesting about it? I'm not saying this is a prediction. And yes, at the end of the day, even when Endeavor or WWE is now, you know, TKO Incorporated, whatever it is, you know, Tony Khan is not going to send a basket of fruit. Hey, congratulations, all the best, you know, congrats, best wishes. No, Tony Khan will be like, fuck you. So my reason why I'm saying that is maybe, you know, you might see a gesture where they will allow somebody from AEW or maybe Christian to do something with Christian, with Edge, you know, whether it's Hall of Fame. Now I know what you're going to say, oh, DT Edge is already, I'm talking about, you know, if they do something with Edge and Christian or if they have something with, we don't know. But I think once this merger and acquisition is done and it's no longer World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated, hell, I saw a video clip today. I think Karrion Kross showed up at a Q&A that Jeff Hardy was doing. And they were hugging and everything. And I was like, oh, I could see the news outlets now. WWE wrestler, you know, confronts AEW wrestler during live Q&A. And I'm like, oh, fuck, here it comes. But he was happened to be in the same area and they hugged. And I'm pretty sure this just happened the last day or two. But I'm saying that once this merger and acquisition is done, and I think things may be a little bit looser. You know, will that mean that Christian will do something with Edge prior to Christian's career being over with in AEW? No, I'm not saying that. But I could see something possibly. And what I mean by Hall of Fame also is I think we will see more AEW wrestlers who are former WWE guys to show up at Hall of Fames. Andrade showed up with Charlotte. We've seen Buddy Matthews show up with, Rhea Ripley. Maybe we see Christian and Edge hanging out next year as well. But I think Edge sticks around in 2024. Not too many matches. And I don't think it'll be the Undertaker schedule either. Because if you look at the Undertaker schedule for the last 6, 7 years, 8 years of his, you know, active career, you know, it was very, very few. It came down to, what, one match? So I don't think he'll end up getting as limited as Undertaker schedule. But it'll be very limited, so. And happy birthday, Tristan. His birthday's tomorrow. He will be 27. Wow. Almost half my age. Unbelievable. Rams fan is asking, did I hear that the Rock's version of the XFL, lost $60 million in its first year? Yeah, I did. And I got to be honest with you, I did see a lot of wrestling fans having fun with it, that The Rock is on a big decline, and look at Adam, Black Adam, or whatever that movie is, and look at this, and XFL. Listen, when you revitalize a franchise or you start a new company, you're going to lose money in the beginning. You could lose money for years before you start making money. And I honestly think that they expected a substantial loss in the first year. Take note, AEW has been around for 4 years, and it's none of our business because it's not a publicly traded company. But one thing that I will keep saying, and I'll keep reminding everyone, if AEW was making profits, I guarantee you there would be a lot of touting and celebration and a little bit of bragging going around. Sure, it wouldn't be on the levels of what WWE makes, But if there was a positive cash flow, people know why I say that, you would see some people tout it. You would see some, and listen, the reason why more than anything is it makes AEW look more attractive to Warner Media. It makes AEW more attractive to people who want to invest. Plus, you know, successful people want to be around other successful people. And people who are making money want to be around people who are making money as well. Not someone who has a crazy amount of money and just decides, you know what, I could give it to charity, I can invest in the stock market, or no, I could have a wrestling promotion and piss away a tenth of it, you know, but I'm having a good time and I'm, you know, living my dream. Shit, if I had Tony Khan's money, seriously, if I had $10 billion and I said, you know what, I'll take $1 billion of it, I'll fucking start my own wrestling company. I'll have elephants wrestle in the ring. Whatever I want to do. If I still got $9 billion at the end of the day, call me whatever you want. Call me a money mark. Call me whatever you want. Laugh at me. Say that I'm pissing away money. Well, guess what? I'm enjoying my money. I got billions. You don't. So at the end of the day, AEW is not raking it in. They're raking in money, but they're spending more than what's coming in. They absolutely are spending more than what's coming in. Sooner or later, you got to start budgeting that. And no, Warner Media has no right to see AEW's bottom line. But as far as The Rock losing $60 million in the first year, I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised. And when people say, oh, The Rock, you know, hey, it's time to come back to wrestling. For what? To make $3 million? To make $5 million, you know, The Rock has got plenty of money. He could do a movie and get that money back. So the first year does not surprise me. Not at all. Not at all. Roger Rubio celebrating 28 months. Jesus. 2 years and 4 months. Yes, that math is right. 2 years and 4 months as a channel member. Time has flown by. Much love to you too. Roger, thank you very much. And if anybody wants to consider becoming a channel member, you know, we do monthly pay-per-view contests. We do ad-free episodes. You get Wednesday Night Dynamite. You get the Patreon show that I do every week. You get to, you know, enjoy it as well. You get first dibs with all the questions and Q&As and other stuff. So if you want to go check it out. I don't plug that all that much, but, you know, if you want to go check it out. Austin says he can't believe I'm still doing video. I'm no, like, aesthetically pleasing. You know, like, nobody's looking at me like, wow, he's a handsome man. You know, if I pull my shirt down, nobody is going to whip out the jit gel rag and pledging themselves tonight. I know I'm being a little disgusting. No, but I always wanted to do video because when you do audio for 20 years, people may see a picture of you, people may see a screenshot of you, but you could tell by looking at someone if they're lying or if they're not. And not only that, you know, when I do these shows, especially Monday and even on Saturday, I put a lot of photos up. I put video clips up. You know, there's a lot of things that I could do now that I was not able to do on audio. You know, and I like doing the video aspect, but I also realize that about 85 to 90% of my audience still accesses audio only. And, you know, yes, pulling back a little bit on the video side is happening. We don't do video on Wednesdays anymore right now. And it's better because I take my time doing a Wednesday show. I record the NXT stuff during the day. When AEW Dynamite is done, I only need to record another half hour, 40 minutes, and it's up before midnight. And it's like, okay, that's cool. You know, I don't have to stay up till 4 a.m. I don't want to compete with other people who are live also, because it's like, you know, I appreciate everybody who tunes in live, but, you know, why am I, like, literally putting myself in a situation where I could get a fucking stroke, you know, staying up till 3, 4 a.m. every day for that stuff? So you try to kind of budget it out. But I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. It's good. Rick Shaw, what do I see as an up-and-coming indie wrestler that isn't an obvious pick? Wow. See, I include Impact Wrestling stars also. because even though Impact Wrestling is bigger than your usual indie, they are still very, very limited. I mean, come on, when you get 100,000 viewers a week, you know, especially when you used to do 10, 15 times that. And I know, you know, viewing habits and, you know, where you watch has changed. But I honestly think Speedball Mike Bailey, you know, could cross over into AEW or WWE. That's one guy that I absolutely enjoy. There are other guys as well. I mean, on the women's side, Natalia Markova, is that her name? She's now getting a little bit more play with NWA. I know I'm a poet, in case you didn't know it. She's actually, you know, she's got something. You know, unfortunately, I could picture if she went to WWE, they would definitely portray her as like, almost like a Russian spy or something like that. They would do some hokey gimmick with her. That's why I'm not so sure. And honestly, right now, as Monk's women, you got AEW doesn't even utilize the women like they should now. And even when they do sometimes, the outcomes are too predictable. Like Sky Blue wins a Rampage match. So Sky Blue is going to take on Toni Storm on Wednesday's Dynamite. You think there's any fucking chance in hell that Sky Blue is going to dethrone Toni Storm for the women's championship? It's a nice little opportunity for Sky Blue. But even, like, you buried her so much that when you throw a win here and there, it doesn't really feel like it's amounting to anything. You look at even Hobbs. Now, I'm hoping Saturday's changed that, but you look at Hobbs. You know, the Book of Hobbs, he's walking around, you know, the other blocks, not the bad streets of L.A., he's the side streets. You know, you do all that and you paint him up, and then he wins a championship, like, they're finally fucking giving him an opportunity. And the next thing you know, some old Cutlass Supreme is getting banged up by Wardlow, turned upside down, loses the belt, is with QT Marshall's group for some reason, and the next thing you know, he ain't even on TV anymore. But he beat Caleb whatever on Rampage. So they got to do a better job with their women. So right now, there's no one. There's no one else. There's no one else. You know who else also, honestly? Hammerstone. Hammerstone. How is it that Alex Hammerstone, how is it that this guy has not shown up at WWE or AEW at all? I don't get it. Like, I could just picture, you ever see that animated file? Was it Stacy Keibler dancing? And they show the clip of Vince, and he's sitting in his chair, and he's like, I could just imagine, like, Vince in his office, and a tape arrives, or a DVD, or a digital media, a thumb drive, and he plugs it in, and it's Alex Hammerstone fucking doing his stuff. I can picture Vince, like, watching this, like, how is that guy not in AEW or WWE yet? That, I honestly, look, I say that about Nick Aldis, and I've said that about others, but Alexander Hammerstone, that guy is probably at the top of my list. How the fuck is this? Unless maybe he just doesn't want that grind. You know, understand something, guys, and this is legit. This is true. A lot of wrestlers don't say it publicly because they don't want to lose an opportunity. You know, me, back in the day, people used to say to me, hey, DT, you know, if one of these wrestling promotions called you and wanted you to do a little work in their offices, would you do it? And for about 15 years, on my shows, on my hotlines, on my shows, I mean, look, I did do work, you know, the last year at ECW pushing tickets and XPW, but I'm talking over the last 15 plus years. Every time I was asked that question, I would always say the same thing. Nah, I got my insurance business. I'm not going to fuck that up and this and that. Meanwhile, realistically, because of the convenience of the internet, because of the convenience of everything being done online, because of email and everything else, it's absolutely doable. But for 15 years, I always said on the shows, nah, I wouldn't do it. You know, I got my insurance. I don't want to fuck that up. Now, it's like, I shouldn't have said that, because there in the past, there was at least two or three opportunities that I could have at least applied to something that somebody, people reached out to me and said, why don't you go for that, man? Why don't you, there's enough people that would give you a little bit of a recommendation. You know, you got the knack of doing certain things. Why? And I was like, nah, I definitely burned myself. Even if you want to go a step further, Sirius Satellite Radio, there was one time that we could have done Sirius Satellite Radio. I passed it up. We were going to do FM radio back in 2005, passed that up. There were opportunities. 10 years ago, I was going to do video, passed it up. And I regret passing things up, because who knows where it would have led. I don't pass nothing up anymore. If I can make it work, I'll make it work. So if a company reached out to me now and said, hey, would you like to do a little bit of this, or we could use your knowledge in this or your view, I would do it. I would do it. I mean, as long as it didn't fuck up my real business, I would make it work. I would manage it out. I would definitely try to make it work. So, a lot of love for Alex Hammerstone, by the way. A lot of love online for Alex Hammerstone. He's good. He's good. Would he main event any premium live events anytime soon? No, but he definitely could be molded. He's got a lot of the tools, man. He's got the look. He can go, man. William is asking me, where do I see the bloodline moving forward? Well, I don't know if you checked out Saturday's show, but I went on a rant that I'm getting a little bit tired of the snail's pace that they're going. I'm getting tired with WWE going too slow. They've done this repeatedly, and I think they're now putting themselves in a position where it's not going to hurt them that much, but it's going to hurt them. It fucked up Bray Wyatt. They took an extra 6 weeks to get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back together. Remember Clash at the Castle, that extra 3 or 4 weeks that they teased dumb shit, that Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, which one is going to Clash? Oh, fuck that. We know who's going to Clash at the Castle. Just build Drew versus Roman. No, instead, they got to build Drew versus Sheamus. See, a lot of people don't think about that aspect of it. Clash at the Castle was great. That was my wedding day. Believe me, I was sitting in my room waiting for the limousine to pick up, and I'm watching Gunther versus Sheamus. And I'm like, wow, this is great. But here's the thing. Instead of just advertising Drew versus Roman for an extended period of time, they wasted extra weeks by having, oh, Sheamus, oh, he's going to fight Drew to get the opportunity, and then, oh, the match is not happening. Drew, Sheamus says he's sick. And I'm like, oh, they just milked 3-4 extra weeks for nothing. They did that with Bray Wyatt. They did QR codes and rabbits and fucking this and little teasers and Easter eggs and all this stuff. And we're all online and we're doing reveals and deep dives and all this stuff. Like, oh, this is great. You call this number and there's this, you know, revel in what you believe. Are you this? And that. And I'm like, all right, now 2 months have gone by. All right. And then people are like, oh, the Wyatt Six. Grayson Waller is going to be the buzzard. And Joe Gacy is going to be the fat pig. And Alexa Bliss is going to be this. Oh, no, it's going to be Mandy Rose. And no, it's going to be this. And meanwhile, a lot of others, including me, is like, no, Wyatt Six is the six shades of Bray. It's Bray battling his inner, his personalities, multiple personality disorder. The six Brays that we're seeing, Uncle Howdy is a, and then Uncle Howdy is in the ring. And then Uncle Howdy looks very, very short. He looks weak, frail. And then we think it's Vincent. Then we think it's Bo Dallas. You know, and then he goes against Bray Wyatt. Then he's helping Bray Wyatt. And the next thing you know, it's 4 months gone by. And now, for some reason, LA Knight is feuding with Bray Wyatt. And early on, we're like, wow, that's the feud we didn't expect. you know what? I'm digging it. I'm digging it. It actually feels pretty good. And then we get the fucking Mountain Dew match. And it was the drizzling shits. And then you're watching all these house show results and Bray keeps beating LA Knight on street fights over and over and over again. And the losses to LA Knight didn't bother me all that much because in the end, LA Knight was going to get pushed. But you're like, okay, now it's 6 months gone by. And we still don't know who Uncle Howdy is. We still don't have clarity. We don't know why there were fucking rabbits. We don't know why it was this. We don't know why did that. And now all of a sudden, the Funhouse returns. And Bray is back, you know, Sweater Bray. And then you got these people online. Oh, Vince wants The Fiend. And now 7 months go by and you're like, the fuck is going on? So WWE keeps milking stuff. This, the Bloodline, is in a league of its own, so they can milk it, but I got to be honest with you, even though SmackDown Friday was great, at the end I was mad, and I'm like, oh Jesus, we're going to have to wait an extra 2 weeks for the Usos to realign, and then it's going to milk for like 2 more months, and then it's going to be like Solo might tease a little bit of dissension with Roman, and then this may happen, and this and that, and then the next thing you know, someone else... I'm like, this is going to go into the fall. That's why even on Saturday or the Q&A, I think Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 40 is now probably the scenario. Because 6 months will go like this, and next thing you know, we get the Royal Rumble again. They're going too slow. So the Bloodline, where do I see it going? The Usos are going to stay aligned. The Usos will go up against Roman and Solo a little bit. They might tease Roman versus Jimmy, Roman versus Jay, Roman versus Jimmy with Jay on a pole, you know, suspended in the air. Put him on a forklift. Roman Reigns versus Jimmy Uso, Jay Uso on a forklift. The winner gets Jay Uso. It's going to go into the fall. And then after that, there's going to be a falling out with Solo Sikoa. And then you're going to have Roman Reigns on a desert island all by himself. And then you're going to incorporate Brock Lesnar again and probably the Judgment Day. And it's getting too complicated. You know, it feels like they know this is a massive success. So they feel, we could add extra month. We're going to have Jey Uso decide on Friday. Nah, fuck that. We'll do that in 2 weeks. We'll have Jimmy super kick him instead. And then a whole week will go by and, you know, we're supposed to maybe think that Jey Uso doesn't watch replays and Jey Uso maybe next week. If they wait till next week and Jey Uso is still mad at Jimmy for super kicking him, I'll turn the TV off. I'll turn it because just suspension of disbelief. The super kick was intended for Solo Sikoa. I don't need next Friday SmackDown to see a backstage segment where Jimmy's like, he goes like this. You could picture it. Jay sent him, he'll slap him on the chest and say, hey, Oos, sorry about that kick. You know that was meant for Solo, right? I don't even need that to be said. We know what happened. And we're supposed to, for a whole week, they're milking it. And you're going to get more complaints. It will not turn into the fiasco like Bray Wyatt and other shit, but they're milking it. Why do I think the main reason why the XFL didn't work out in 2001? I thought you meant 2023. The problem with the XFL in 2001, and believe me, I watched it, I followed it, the problem is they tried to reinvent football. And, you know, I remember early on Vince McMahon saying that, you know, that this is going to be separate and it's not going to be have the wrestling aspect to it. And I remember, you know, like literally the first day you got The Rock on the fucking the stadium screen. And you had, you know what I remember from that night? And maybe I'm a little wrong. Maybe my memory's a little clouded. You know, I'm bringing up 22 years later on spur of the moment. What I do remember about the first night of the XFL was that every time they went to a commercial break, they had a wrestler cut a promo, pre-recorded promo, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And blah, blah, blah. And The Rock says, blah, 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 blah. And they did, The Undertaker, I think, did every commercial break, a wrestler cut a promo. And I think a lot of people, and understand 2001, you know, we're around the time where Vince McMahon is still steroid Vince. You know, Bob Costas confrontation Vince. You know, a lot of scandal Vince. You know, a lot of attitude era Vince. A lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll Vince. And then what happens is they tried to reinvent football. They tried to do too many cutesy stuff with the rules. The first, if I remember, the first time that the two teams ran for the ball, somebody got injured. You had commentators doing football. Jim Ross did good. Jesse Ventura did good. Jerry Lawler even did good to an extent. But I remember Matt Vasgersian, is that his name? I remember he did a game, and then they're doing like all this sexy stuff, and they went to like the cheerleaders, and they're in the crowd, and they're showing their ass and stuff like that. And he was like, I don't want to be involved with this. They tried to give it attitude. That's what they tried to do. They tried to reinvent the football, and they tried to give it, instead of WWF attitude, XFL attitude. And people weren't having it. They just wanted good football. And then when the ratings started to plummet, Vince thought by doing storylines with officials and commentators and, you know, the women, and they're in the shower, and people are like, what the fuck is this? That's why it failed. That's why it failed. They tried to do XFL attitude. And people just want the good football. So that's, to me, that's why it failed. Let me tell you something. I do remember Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura more than anybody with great commentary. I mean, Jerry Lawler was more serious than you would expect him to be, but you still had, you know, moments where they would show the cheerleaders and they would throw a kick in the air and you see, like, you know, their undergarments would be like, woohoo! You know, so it's like, all right, that's Jerry Lawler. You know, you kind of expected that. Like they do, give me an A, give me an E, and they put their leg, woohoo! So, with all this talk about Forbidden Door, what about my Forbidden Door podcast, Rocky Red? You know what? That's a good one. I think we should do another Forbidden Door episode. You know, the thing is, and we took ideas last time, and, you know, I had Kev on, which was good. But, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, like the Forbidden Door idea was supposed to be that I'm going to have somebody on that you would never expect to be on. Like somebody like, and Jason Solomonster. A lot of people never thought he and I would do a show together, even though we never disliked each other. You know, he's a good guy, man. JD from New York, Joe Cronin. Like nobody ever envisioned us doing something. Look at Matt Riddle's girlfriend, Misha Montana. You know, that was kind of difficult. Not because of her, but out of respect to Matt Riddle. Because there were a lot of things personally going on with him that still haven't been made public today. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, she told me a lot of stuff that I promised I would never make public. You know, Matt Riddle checked out the show, and I would not post it unless I got his okay and he approved it. Doesn't sound like, he wasn't a dick, but my point is this. That episode that I taped was very, very difficult because, you know, I said to myself, okay, you know, I know immediately people are going to want to know, did this happen? Why did he get this? Did the wellness violate? And, you know, like literally 2 minutes in, her and I both talked about that. And I said, listen, guys, for anyone out there that's going to ask about that, if Matt Riddle wants to make that public, he makes that public. But I'm not making it public because it's too personal. It's too private. And a lot of people are like, oh, fuck you too, Don Tony. So it's like, do I tease a little? Do I reveal a little? Or do I keep it off limits? And I kept it off limits. And I got a lot of appreciation personally, privately about it afterwards. But my point is that everybody who has been on is someone that you wouldn't expect. Not a fantasy duo. Because people started bringing up other podcasters. And it's like half of them, I don't even know who they are. So why would that be a forbidden door? You know what I mean? Like forbidden door is like maybe somebody you wouldn't expect to be on. I do know that Kev and I still would like to interview Karrion Kross and maybe even Scarlett as well. It can be done. It has to go through WWE offices now. You know, there is a procedure you got to do. Even with AEW people, there's a procedure you got to do. It's the respectful, it's the right way to go. We haven't looked into that at all. But, yeah, maybe we got to start preparing for another Forbidden Door. I got to come up with a couple of ideas. So, we'll see. We will see. All right, we're at 70 minutes. Let's do another 10 and then get out of here. So, Mia Khalifa, majority of people tuning into my stuff do not want to see me talking to Mia Khalifa. I know there's a small group that would, but, you know, I try to put somebody on that people be like, whoa, I didn't expect that, but I don't want people like, who is this? Oh, no, I know you're kidding, but there is a small group of people out there be like, okay, that actually would be interesting, so... All right. I'm checking out questions. Thoughts on Alex Shelley as TNA Heavyweight Champion? Okay, that's a good one because I'm going to talk about that Wednesday a little bit as well. The Motor City Machine Guns reclaimed gold this past Friday. Chris Sabin won the X Division title. Alex Shelley won the Impact World Heavyweight title. Very surprised. Since Steve Macklin still got it. But, if you all remember, the first Wednesday Night Dynamite that I did after Steve Macklin won the championship, I said, honestly, I just don't see how that's going to draw any ratings. He's not a household name. Didn't say he wasn't deserving of it, but that's not the guy that I would have put. Remember, people thought Kushida might get it. He doesn't flow off the tongue like, oh, yeah, he's the champion. Like, no, not yet. Alex Shelley has that long history with Impact Wrestling, NWA, TNA also. Maybe, you know, TNA days. It's a little nostalgia, but it's more than that because both guys could still go. As far as Chris Sabin goes, X Division title, fine with it. Totally fine with it. You know, if it would have been reversed, if Chris Sabin would have won the heavyweight title and Alex Shelley would have won X Division, I would be like, what the fuck are you doing, Impact? You didn't learn nothing when Chris Sabin won the heavyweight title back then and he did that press conference and nobody cheered. There was dead silence, that awkward dead silence. Man, I at that time, I wanted to make that my ringtone. The problem is, it was so much dead silence, I wouldn't even know if somebody was calling. But Alex Shelley is heavyweight champion. Because this is his first run as heavyweight champion, all right, I'm fine with it. Is it going to draw big numbers? No, I don't know what draws big numbers for Impact Wrestling. Trinity hasn't drawn any bump, really, much at all. It's got to be a team effort. They're up about 20% in the ratings this year. But it also goes to show you how bad they were going. You know, when you're at 120,000 viewers, 110,000 viewers, and that's a 20% bump, you're like, man, were they doing bad? And then you think I will continue saying it. Putting that championship on Kenny Omega for as long as they did hurt that company. When Impact Wrestling did nothing on AEW's televisions, that hurt Impact Wrestling. You would have Impact AEW people show up on Impact. You'd have Tony Khan cutting promos with Tony Schiavone. You would have Matt Hardy and Private Party showing up. You have Kenny Omega. You have, you know, them hanging out with Gallows and Anderson. And it was so one-sided. But worse was Impact Wrestling sent a message to not only their wrestlers, but their fans that during the COVID era, nobody on that roster is strong and worthy enough to be our heavyweight champion. So we're going to have AEW be the person holding it right now. And yes, Kenny Omega would walk around with the Impact title on a Dynamite, but it was so one-sided, I think Impact really hurt their company. So going back to Alex Shelley, it's okay. It's probably the right way to go at the present time, but Alex Shelley is not going to, you know, make a drastic change, but he's definitely good enough to be champion. Brian Hunt is asking me some of my favorite biopic movies. Oh boy. I'm trying to think like what comes to mind for me. Oof. I don't really like get into biopics. You know, for those that are asking, a biopic is pretty much like a biography. Like, I haven't gone to the movies since, like, Lord of the Rings. You know, like, there's no biopics that come. Oh, you know what? I take that back. The Michael J. Fox. Is that really a biopic, though? I watched about 90% of the Michael J. Fox, movie they did, just did documentary, I guess, more than anything. It's awful to think within a few years we're going to not have Michael J. Fox on this earth anymore. Back to the Future is so much of my memories of 1985. It's, you know, Family Ties. I absolutely loved Family Ties back in the day. Michael J. Fox, that one really hit me. But other than that, you know, the Freddie Mercury one, I have not watched. I don't really watch much of the biopics. You know, like I watch stuff on YouTube. I do watch some documentaries here and there. The WWE biographies are okay. I watched the Iron Sheik one the other day, you know, more because he passed. But, you know, more biopics, no, I really don't. Goodfellas is considered a biopic. I wouldn't call that a biopic. I mean, I know it's about Henry Hill and everything, but there was so much manipulated from that. Yeah, listen, you want to say to me some of my favorite comedies, horror films, science fiction, dramas? Okay, biopics, you know, like what classifies as a biopic? Yeah. That definitely would not be, you know, like something that I would really think. If Goodfellas is considered a biopic, then yeah, that's my favorite one of all time. You know, I've watched a lot of documentaries about 9/11 recently. I still can't believe that people out there think that, you know, the buildings were blown up with explosives. They just don't understand that when heat gets to that point and you start having the top of the building collapse, and as the floors go down, all that weight and that heat is, it just collapses. I mean, I'm shocked at people, and not just everyday people, or maybe people that vape a little bit too much, but I'm a little blown away at who out there actually still thinks that 9/11 was an inside job. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Jesse, you know what? The military guy who died, that punched out Jesse Ventura, that sniper, what was his name? American Sniper? Was that one? I guess that would be a biopic. That was a good movie. That shit was a great movie. Is The Shawshank Redemption considered a biopic? Would it? Because it's based on a true story, isn't it based on, you know, like somebody who, you know, was arrested, accused of murdering his wife? Yeah, everybody's saying it is a biopic. Brian says a biopic. So Shawshank Redemption probably would be at the top of my list. That movie was so good, man. That was a great movie. American Sniper. Yeah, Bradley Cooper. That was a great one. Too bad New Jack City wasn't a biopic. I watched New Jack City again the other day. Rock-a-bye, baby. That was a great one. Forrest Gump, greatest biopic. Was that really based on a real person, though? Why would that be a biopic? Why would Forrest Gump be a biopic? You know what? I don't know. That's why, like I said, I think it's more about perception than anything else. All right. We got to start wrapping this up. So last call for questions. Where do I see Moose in 5 years? Good question. Maybe WWE. Either WWE, Impact Wrestling, or retired. I don't see him in AEW on a regular basis. 5 years is a long time. And Moose is not a spring chicken. He's not, you know, extremely young in his career. 5 years is a lot longer, especially, you know, for pro wrestlers. I would say Impact, WWE, or retired. Am I a fan of the Beatles? They were okay. You know, I've always been into a little bit of classic rock, but for me it's more like Pink Floyd, Yes, The Who, AC/DC, Def Leppard, you know, original Van Halen, you know, Twisted Sister. Is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? You know, shit like that. Beatles, not really. Although my parents were huge into the Beatles. They were into a lot of 50s stuff too, but they liked the Beatles as well. My father had quite a few of the 8-tracks. Okay. James is asking, where can I find classic TNA to watch, much like he does with WWE Network? Well, you know, you got to do a Google search. Unfortunately, there's no streaming services that have it right now. I don't know what Impact Plus, maybe Impact Plus has it. But, you know, for me, when I want to watch, like when I was doing a history show 4 and 5 years ago, I got a lot of my video from searching online. And a lot was my own library. I mean, I have a huge old school wrestling library and I have all original shit. That's why if you ever check out the history stuff that I do, it's always original footage. I will never play an ECW clip, a Ring of Honor clip, a TNA clip, an old school clip, anything, you know, Smokey Mountain, without the original music, the original commentary, everything original. It's either original or I don't play it. Never ever did that. But if Impact Plus doesn't have it, do a Google search on the videos. You know, it used to be, what was that, video? I can't remember the name of the video channel. It wasn't YouTube, but it was like video something. And they always had video of TNA and other shit. Impact Plus has their stuff. It's $7.99 a month. Yeah, you might have to pay to watch it, but I'm sure that there's places online to get it. Mike is asking me my thoughts on Wrestling Observer putting everything under their paywall. Hey, they got a loyal audience. They want to charge people. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. Honestly, I was seriously thinking about putting everything that I do behind a paywall. But I didn't, and I'm not going to. But the reason why I really thought about it was you compete with all this clickbait shit online, and it's like you're working your ass off trying to give people honest, straight-up truth, and other people, you know, they're moving their shows at the same time as yours and putting clickbait stuff. And I was like, all right, you know, after doing this for 26 years, you know, I think I have earned the right to get a little money. And then I, you know, like I say to myself, if someone won't spend 50 cents a week for 5 shows a week, let that sink in. 50 cents a week and get five shows a week, and people are going to say, I'm not paying for that, you know, then maybe that person shouldn't be one of your supporters. That's your original thought. And for a little while, I thought about that. But then I was like, you know what, man, this economy is all fucked up. I ain't forcing nobody to pay any money right now. You know, if you got to watch an extra commercial, I don't think that's a big deal. But, you know, and people who do, you know, contribute, especially Patreon or subscribers, I try to give a little bit extra in return, which is the right way to go. As far as Wrestling Observer, I mean, they've been around long enough that if they want to charge everybody for everything they say, that is fine. You know, that is their plan. What you can't do is you can't keep going back and forth. Because, and this is a big risk for them, especially when you're getting things wrong and especially when things are biased. But understand, and I say this in defense of Wrestling Observer, I say this in defense, look at the Meltzer year-end awards. I mean, look at what wins and who wins. I mean, if you check out Cornette's podcast, every year they make fun of it. Like, how does, you know, like Jericho get ranked third for Wrestler of the Year or someone who had seven matches? My point is, understand, when you hear the Meltzer Observer Awards every year and you see Booker of the Year, Tony Khan, Promotion of the Year, AEW, everything of the year, AEW, that's their audience. They know their audience. So their audience is probably going to follow them into a paywall. And I don't see much wrong with it, but it's very, very risky. Because if you start losing your core audience, you know, what are you going to do? Go back and do everything free and then put it be? Yeah, you can't keep doing that, so. All right, two more minutes and we're gone. Eminence Front used to be my ringtone. Used to be one of my ringtones back in the day. Definitely loved that song. And you know what? You know where I first heard that song, Eminence Front by The Who? WWF. 1982-83, when they would go to commercial breaks and they would show like a replay. In fact, just to show you how nuts how you remember things, when Snuka had the confrontation with Magnificent Morocco right after or during Buddy Rogers' corner, right before that segment, when they went to a commercial, I do remember them playing Eminence Front. In fact, the first match that Snuka had after that incident, and I don't remember if he fought Don Carnoodle. I know he was supposed to fight Don Carnoodle the night of that Buddy Rogers corner, but I think his return match might have been against Don Carnoodle, since that was the original scheduled match a couple of weeks later. But I do remember, right before that match, when they went to commercial, I remember Vince McMahon saying, like, coming up next, the Invaders and Superfly. And you had The Who playing in the background. That's how I remember it. They used to play. WWE would play some good shit back in the day, especially when they would go to commercial break. So, yeah. Yep. That's where I really heard it more than anything. Because you're talking 1983. 1983, for me, it was all hip-hop and rap music. And a little bit of classic Pink Floyd as well. I have my moments there, too. But, all right, one last question, and we're going to call it. Let's make it a good wrestling question. Kurt Angle giving love to Kenny Omega. Picked the non-WWE. Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Kenny Omega, you know, even though his style is not the most popular style amongst the wrestling community out there, he is very, very creative. Very creative. And, you know, some of what he does, maybe a little bit too acrobatic at times, but I can't criticize it. Kenny Omega is, you know, when people say he's in a league of his own, yeah, he definitely is worthy of a lot of praise that he gets. He's not for everyone, you know, but he definitely deserves the praise that he gets. What if someone online writes an opinion column about the show and calls Don Tony a wrestling insider? Is that considered insult? I'm not an insider. You know, I do have some people that work in wrestling that if I really want an answer to something, you know, most of the time I could get it. But, you know, most of the time I don't ask because I don't want someone to feel that I'm just using them just to get information. If I am really curious, you know, like something controversial will come out there and I'll ask someone, any truth to this? Nah. I'm like, all right, I appreciate it. Thank you. And then I don't talk about it. That happens a lot. You'll be surprised. Some of the things you hear about some wrestlers, especially people that are not on TV, you hear a lot of, whenever you see the allegedly, reportedly, possibly, that means these people don't know the answer. Instead of trying to get the answer, they would rather just put that out there instead. I have no idea who's going in the Hall of Fame next year. It's Philly, probably a little ECW influence. I'd love to see Paul Heyman go in next year. Tommy Dreamer wants to go in, and I'm fine if Tommy Dreamer were to go in the Hall of Fame next year. I haven't thought about it yet. Does Roman turn on Paul Heyman or the other way around? Boy, that I can't see Paul Heyman turning on Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman will always be a heel. And if Paul Heyman turns on Roman Reigns, it would kind of make Roman Reigns a babyface. I think Roman will probably disassociate himself. I think when Roman Reigns loses the titles, Roman Reigns has got to be all by himself. So I think he slowly loses everybody around him. But, you know, Paul Heyman is a heel. And he prefers it that way. And I don't see Paul Heyman realigning with Brock Lesnar anytime soon. It's not needed. So... all right, last question, and we're going to go out of here because you know, I see majority of you are not very vocal tonight. All right, one stays, two goes. Austin, Hogan, Rock. One stays, two goes. That's... I have to go with Hogan. I have to go with Hogan. Let me explain why. Austin was not around long enough. The Rock is going to be more remembered for his movies. I'm talking about across the globe, more for his movies than his wrestling career. And The Rock was a complement of everything else going on. Hulk Hogan, because of Vince McMahon, you know, took wrestling to an area that had never been seen before. Pro wrestling up until the mid-80s was more closet. You know, like something your grandfather, your uncle saw. Kids would try to mimic it. But wrestling was never, you know, very well respected. It was respected towards Bruno. But it was never, you know, like outside of pro wrestling, people looked at it as fake shit. Fake wrestling stuff. But Hulk Hogan with the Rock and wrestling connection and the interaction with Cyndi Lauper, and you think about everything that went, and he was a larger-than-life superhero. And then you had, you know, the crossover to Hollywood. Even though a lot of people despise Hulk Hogan in 2023, what changed about wrestling in 84, 85 onward, no one else ever did. You know, like I've heard people say that if Hogan wasn't around for Hulkamania, could it have been Dusty? Or maybe if Billy Graham would have turned babyface. If Billy Graham would have still been around and turned babyface and still somehow would have been able to become champion again in 84, 85, it still would be classified as underground. Bob Backlund was one of my favorites. If Backlund held that championship from 78 to 83, Bob Backlund wasn't a crossover. You didn't see... like suddenly all this entertainment pizzazz. So superstar Billy Graham would have still been underground. Dusty Rhodes would have been charismatic, but I don't see him crossing over into Hollywood and doing a rock and wrestling connection and all this other stuff. So it's got to be Hogan. Hogan set the stage for the future. And then others later on became bigger. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Once again, if you are interested, Monday night, the 12th of June, right after Raw. Yeah, I know that Matt Riddle little screenshot is kind of a premonition of what I expect to happen. We'll see if Rhea Ripley gets her championship. And Cody Rhodes is taking on The Miz. Yeah, Cody Rhodes. Oh, he's got a broken arm. Yeah, just like Bianca Belair is legitimately pissed at Charlotte Flair's return. Oh, boy. Hey, if you believe some of that stuff to be real, is there a legit competitive nature between the two? Yeah, absolutely. But if people truly think that social media stuff going on is real, then I guess they're doing their job very, very well. You know, understand, I'll leave you with this. Charlotte Flair, she returned 48 hours ago. And a lot of people are pissed. How does she, like, show up and get a title shot right away? And what about everybody else? Yeah, that's what WWE wants this to be. That allows Bianca Belair to get angry and to get involved and to maybe cost Charlotte. And then it maybe leads to a three-way. And, yeah, that's part of the storyline. Let's not have Charlotte Flair show up and feud with Shotzi. Let's have her challenge Asuka and throw her right back in the mix. And when the IWC gets angry by it, yeah, that's part of the story. It's kind of like MJF on Wednesday. When MJF cut his promo on Adam Cole, what a lot of people didn't seem to realize was that MJF was not copying what Adam Cole said about Karrion Kross. MJF was not taking shots about Keith Lee being a manager for Keith Lee, because it never was. What MJF's promo was a roast against all of the bullshit and the rumors put online by everyone else. It was a roast on, you know, people still shit on Karrion Kross to this day, like, oh, remember the night that Adam Cole killed Karrion Kross's career? What MJF did was basically spoof and mock everything. That's what the intention of his promo was. It wasn't lazy. It actually was quite calculated. I thought it was pretty damn good. And this stuff with Charlotte, WWE is fully aware of what they were doing and what they are getting right now. They know their audience. Bianca Belair also knows. She'll be okay. I hope you all are okay. If you enjoyed the show, give it that thumbs up, subscribe, hit that notification. I know a lot of people keep saying that. And yes, I actually hit the notifications for some other podcasters that I follow. And it's pretty cool. Like, I'll be online and I'll see a big screen pop up. It'll say, oh, so-and-so just posted a video. And I go watch it. Me, my schedule is a little bit more predictable and calculated, so you know when the shows go on. But at least you'll know the moment that I do post something. And again, if you're part of our Patreon family, 10.05 p.m. Tuesday night on the Patreon Discord, Kevin and I will be live. And we'll be talking about everything current about wrestling. We'll probably do a little discussion on AEW too. Because I took note of all the questions that were sent in for Kev's Thursday Patreon show. I don't remember who sent it, but somebody said, you know, you and DT broke up right when AEW first came around. You two never really ever discussed AEW before. And I sent the questions to Kev, but I was thinking that night, I was like, holy shit, that's true. Like, Kev and I were not doing shows during AEW's existence. So it'd be pretty interesting for us to maybe have some conversation Tuesday, you know, about some AEW. You know, I'm very curious to see where that goes. But, all right. One last before we go. Dream 101 with a $2 run-in. Thank you very much, Dream. Why did it become cool to hate The Rock? Oh, Dream. No, a lot of people don't hate The Rock. They just, you know, it's gossip. It's water cooler talk. Ooh, he lost $50 million. Ooh, Black Adam is not doing all that well. Ooh, they canceled Young Rock. It's like gossip. You know, it's like, you know, it's intriguing. It's interesting. At the end of the day, I don't think anybody hates The Rock. I mean, some people do, but for the most part, I think it's just shit to talk about. You know, again, I talked about the XFL stuff earlier, so that's no surprise. We'll talk about Young Rock on Monday's show for a few moments. I will explain why they were dropped, and a lot of it has to do with ratings. But, yeah, I don't – listen, there's always going to be that group on social media that is just going to put down everything. Everything. If you like coffee, they'll say, oh, it's what the fuck is wrong with tea? You know, if you are this side of the aisle, then you hate the other side of the aisle. You're an AEW fan, you're a WWE hater. You know, with The Rock, it's just people are finding it entertaining. Plus, The Rock is a big topic of conversation right now, and people want to be part of that conversation. When people post on social media, they don't want to just post something and only have five people see it. Their fantasy is to have 5,000 people respond to it. That's why when they do write something and they get like 1,000 people to like it or respond, and suddenly not only is it pinned, but it's their wallpaper, it's tattooed on their ass. Like, oh my God, my greatest feat is getting 1,000 likes. Look, everybody, I'm popular. There's a lot of people that do that. So The Rock right now is the big topic of conversation, and that's why a lot of people run with it. I don't see the hate with The Rock. You know, The Rock wants to start doing dumb shit, then we'll criticize him for it. But I don't think it's widespread. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. Take care, be well, and ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over.
Oh, shit, I hit the wrong button. I guess it is over. Sorry, everybody.
That was cool. Yeah.